In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To have leprosy in the ancient world, what about the worst thing that could happen to someone? Not only would this disease eat away your flesh and bones, not only would it make you stink, but it would lead to your total banishment from society. As outcasts, they would have to stay at least 50 feet away from any non-leper, forced to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," anytime someone was approaching. Leprosy cut them off from their family members. So when Jesus approached the lepers with voices trained from yelling out unclean, stood at a distance from Jesus, raised their voice, and screamed something else. "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus did have mercy. He told them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Because priests were the only ones under the Mosaic law who were able intelligently to pronounce a leper healed and return him or her to society. Even to say this, however, was to imply that he had cured them. But he actually did not pronounce them cured or let them see the effects. "Go show yourselves to the priest." It took an act of faith on their part to start journeying to find the priest, simply on Jesus' word. But that's what they did. And as they were journeying, however, they became aware they were cured. St. Luke tells us one of them, a Samaritan, turned around. He wanted to thank the one who had given him a miracle. Glorifying God, he came to Jesus, fell at his feet, and thanked him. Jesus' words, dear friends, are very powerful. 10 were cleansed. Were they not? Where are the other 9? He knew he had cured all 10 of leprosy, but only one was showing gratitude. No Jew returned. And the reason why it mattered so much to Jesus was not because he wanted people to appreciate his generosity and enter into his debts. No, he wanted to give them all a far greater gift than curing them of their leprosy. He wanted to give them the fulfillment of the promise St. Paul describes beautifully in today's passage from the letter to the Galatians. This is a key point. Jesus came into the world not fundamentally to heal our bodies, but to restore our souls. He came not to remedy our ills, but to redeem our whole life. In order to receive this greater gift, however, we need gratefully to be in relationship with God. While all 10 men were cured of the physical leprosy, 9 retained leprosy of the soul, an ingratitude that took for granted the greatest gift they had received in life until then, and that closed them off from an even greater one. Only the grateful leper would receive the gift of salvation. because only he had a heart that was open to receive it. Only he had the sense that the giver was even greater than the healing gift he had bestowed. The other nine likely looked at their deceased with anger toward God. But the Samaritan, even though his body had been disintegrating, his soul had not been destroyed by leprosy of bitterness, complaining, cursing, resentment, or ingratitude. His fundamental relationship with God was still there. And when he received the big grace of his cure, he did what he probably always did and immediately sought to thank the giver. That's why, dear faithful, it is so important for us to focus on gratitude. Or do we like to behave like the nine other lepers? Couldn't Jesus say, where are the other nine? It's a fact that we often behave as spiritually spoiled rats rather than grateful, trusting, loving children. The first thing to do to focus on gratitude is regularly to pray in thanksgiving to God. The Catechism teaches us that there are various forms of prayer. Beyond praise, contrition, intercession for others, and petition for our own needs, the Catechism describes prayer of thanksgiving. When we turn to God, expressing our gratitude for everything He has done for us, everything He has done for those we love, and those we love the most, everything He has given us. Since we pray as we live, and we live as we pray, if we are going to become grateful people, we need regularly to be thanking God in our prayer. The more we do this, the more we open ourselves to recognizing and receiving so much more. The second practice to focus on gratitude is more challenging. It's to get over our spiritual consumerism. It's to get over our constantly giving in to the temptation to obsess about what we don't have, rather than to thank God for what we do. Many of us relate to God not with resentment, rather than gratitude. Even if everything is going fine, we can complain that it's not going better. Even though we have what we need as individuals or as family, we are possessed by a desire for something newer, faster, bigger. We come at and get upset over the blessing of others rather than rejoice with them for those gifts and rejoice over the blessing we ourselves have. The third practice to focus on gratitude is the hardest of all. It's the hardest because it's the more human. It's to learn how to thank God even for the things that the world considers curses. It's about to love the cross, to kiss the cross life can send us, did send us, will send us. Most of us, and it's totally human, mourn about the crosses we have. We may tolerate them with as an evil, but we are never grateful for them. The reason for this is, frankly, we give too much of our hearts to the things of this world, to our health, to our comforts, to everyone liking us, even to our life here on earth. To become people capable of thanking God always and everywhere, we need to recognize that God is always and everywhere blessing us. Sometimes, even with hardship and the cross. Like with the leper, God might allow us to contract a terrible disease, natural or spiritual, in order for us finally to go to confession, in order for us finally to convert, in order for us finally to forgive or to ask for forgiveness, or finally to bring us to reconciliation with the friends, or get our fallen away family members back to pray through praying for us, or even because He wants to bring us through that purification straight to heaven. Similarly, God may let us have a fall, may let us lose a job, or not get one, or fail a test, to help us to grasp that we have been taking so many of His gifts for granted, and enter to a deeper relationship with Him. Dear friends, dear faithful, we need to learn to thank Him for everything. For He seeks to use all things, adverse and propitious, to sculpt us more and more into the image of His Son. Blessed Solinus Casey used to always counsel, thank God ahead of time. When we learn to thank God for the crosses and the difficulties and for all the good He wants to bring from them, then it will be possible for us to thank Him in all circumstances. No matter what hardships we are enduring, no matter what loss we are suffered, God comes into our world to accompany us, to strengthen us, to heal us, to help us. He comes down here each day to save us. And so we say, Deo gratias, thanks be to God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.